Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a weekly Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 2 characters.
Brandon.
Playing Ikaruk Boomslay, Blood Hunter, Half-Orc.
Pomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tehuman, Human Ranger.
Caleb.
My name's Caleb. I am a Warforged robot named Kaitoa Tata.
Brayden.
I am Beleg Degar, Half-Elf Warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, the four escapees, still in their burlap sacks for clothing, enter the small town of Lotmurrow, where they bypass an opportunity for hot soup and murder, relying instead on the half-elf's skills in disguise and deception to take them as a group to the Temple of Dan. As they approach the center of town and the marketplace, Steve is distracted by a familiar item at a weapon booth, while the other three adventurers enter through the temple doors, at which point they immediately hear a whispered voice. Episode 5, Free at Last.
Hey, guard, you got any of that there red frog?
Red frog?
I don't say anything.
Can
we see who said it?
You see, in the shadows, a figure. It looks like a humanoid figure, and he's standing in the dark shadow of where the door has opened into.
How far away?
Probably 15 feet.
Do we know what Red Frog is? Like, common knowledge? Is it a drug, or do we have to find that out?
Let me think about that. Do you know? You could roll...
What do you want to roll?
I would say history.
Go for it.
Even though I have no history, but it just seems like that's what it would be. 5 minus 1.
I like frogs.
I don't know.
Right. Well, Kaitoa, this word, red frog, means nothing to you.
I'll exercise my looks and guard up. And I've also noticed that all the guards speak differently than I do, so I'm trying to adapt to that shit. Oi! Who the fuck is that?
Nice.
What are you doing in the shadows?
Hey, man. Chill out.
What's your name again?
It's Woodson, buddy. All the guards know me, man. Now, look, what are you doing with these here fellers with the collars around their necks? They shouldn't be here, man. You're going the wrong way.
Oh, I'll tell you what. They asked if they could just fucking pray before, you know, I took them back to the prison.
You can go up to old Thimmin there, but I think he's had a little bit too much to drink.
Thimmin.
The gnome. Thimmin's gonna treat you right, if you can wake him up. Say a prayer. Have a gas, have a yak. He's all right.
Brayden?
Yeah.
Outside of character, obviously there's something this guy knows about the collar. Like, he has some prior knowledge of what these collars are and what they mean. We might want to get that out of him somehow.
Yeah, and who to go to get him.
What do you know about these collars? He might know about the metal.
Golem. Wow.
He
might... Your golem can sure talk.
Yeah.
He wants to know.
That's Rob being like, I don't use you're not allowed to say shit out of character.
Okay. Well, fuck. I okay,
he
so
swears too. Wow, he's a foul mouthed golem. Hey, golem. What do you want to know?
And like, what are the collars?
I'm going to intimidate and say, what are these collars? Because now I'm pissed off.
Okay, roll the intimidation.
I got a 9.
He looks at you. He doesn't look too intimidated, this Woodson. And as you try and exert some pressure onto him, yeah, he seems to not really react.
I look at him, I go, hey, calm down. It's the end of his days. And I try to persuade him into answering his question. Answer the boy's question.
The callers? I wish I could tell you more, but it's just like I said, you're going the wrong way. These boys should not be back in town. If you want to know more about them callers, I think you need to talk to the boss man. What'd you say your name was, guard?
Noomba.
Noomba.
I thought.
I seen lots of guards. I mean, I wish you had some of that red frog, but I understand if you want to keep it on the dilly-do.
What the fuck is Red Frog?
Now, what's Red Frog? Now, are you one of the guards or not? Nimbar.
I try to intimidate. And I say, you're damn right, I'm one of the guards. But I'm new here. And I don't know what Red Frog is.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Look, we all got a little bit here and there. I was just playing. If you want some, I got some. You know what they say? Get it in your face, any kind of place.
Well, fuck, give it over. I love some.
I don't like dealing in temple, but given that it's just me and Thimmin here, and he's passed out.
We don't even know what Red Frog is.
A bag will cost you one silver.
Why are we buying Red Frog?
One silver? Yeah, I'll give you one silver.
Yeah, all right, man. Well, here's a small package for you. And let me tell you this, man. Keep the questions about the Red Frog between you, me, and the other guards. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Still don't know what Red Frog is, though.
And he quickly slips out the temple doors back outside into the marketplace, leaving you three in the temple.
That's fine. Yeah, so I guess we go up and make a prayer.
Okay,
fine. Red Frog.
Go up to the front.
Walk up and go prayer.
You walk up to the front, and there is a passed out gnome. They are not dressed in any particular priestly regalia, but they are near the foremost alcove near the pulpit.
Yeah. Okay, so I nudge him gently and say, excuse me, father, or whatever.
The fuck didn't you walk past him?
The old dude?
The gnome?
Yeah, why wouldn't I want to talk to this dude?
Because you're a prisoner that shouldn't be in here?
But I'm praying, and I just want to know,
Don't go for it. Go for it.
I'm sorry. You just bought a bunch of Red Frog. I thought I'd go talk to some.
You guys are dealing drugs, and the robot wants to pray.
Yeah.
So are you going to pray, or are you going to? You actually want to wake try and wake the priest up?
Well, the priest is passed out, is what the other guy said.
I want to wake up the priest.
Okay.
He said it's going to take a heck of a nudge. Yeah. Heck of a nudge to wake him up.
I want to wake him up, because if I'm going to pray my last prayer, I want there to be a fucking priest.
I get as close to them as possible, so it doesn't look just like rogue prisoners.
You know, maybe the prisoners should pray. So, Caleb, what are you doing to wake up this kind of portly little gnome priest?
Okay, so I give a gentle nudge.
Nothing happens.
Okay.
He did say it was going to take quite a bit to wake him up.
Because he notices that he's asleep.
Yeah, okay, roll for that. Beleg is robbing the old priest.
Yeah.
Patting him down.
Yeah, so that's a sleight of hand. Dexterity. Yeah.
That's plus two. That's a 19.
Nice.
Okay, so you sort of feel about his person, and these are really modest garments. In fact, as you feel around, you feel the familiar sensation of burlap. And you notice that actually one of his underlayers is made of, feels like the exact same burlap you guys are in. And as you feel around his midsection, you unleash a little change purse. You can't tell how much is in there. It can't be more than a couple of coins. Other than that, he has one large iron key.
Okay, I take that.
You have an iron key and a little change purse.
Did you take the bag of gold?
Of course I took the change purse.
Done.
I just shake my head at you like, you piece of shit.
And this gnome is still passed out.
Rad.
I don't think we wake him up at this point after we rob him blind.
No, but I was, okay, the key's great. I was more thinking, right there, we missed an opportunity to talk to someone with the same burlap we have on. Could have told us a little more info, but we got a key for something. So,
perfect. Steve?
Let's go.
Back to you.
Steve, yeah. Yeah. Let Tomo roleplay.
So Steve, you walk towards the market where one of the flower shop type carts has, you know, an angled display that angles up towards you at about elbow height and presents all these weapons that are held in only by a sort of an iron bar that prevents people from lifting items up.
Okay.
There doesn't appear to be anybody at the booth.
No one at the booth. Okay, so I'm closer to this.
You now see it's your dagger, Steve. Huh. One of these daggers in the front row is totally your dagger that you've been thinking about since the moment you realized you were imprisoned and stripped of all your gear. This is
never gonna save
Steve's property.
Bar.
Yeah. And so this thing is, this bar is locked, I assume? Like, it's attached to...
Yep.
Hmm.
And as you approach the, stand, a little gnome pops up.
Hi, I'm Gerb, the gnome!
And kind of scares you in a completely inappropriate way to treat a customer.
Hey, man.
Hi, son. What would you like? Sharp and pointy objects are my speciality.
I like this one dagger here. What's the story with this one?
Oh, an old favorite dagger of mine. I've had it for years and years. What would you like to talk about? Price, features, benefits? Very stabby, this knife.
It caught my eye. I want to... Can you mind if I... It looks pretty good, but is it useful?
Oh, very much so. 10 silver pieces, and it will give you all the use in the world. But as long as it remains in my stand, it is to no use of you at all.
Oh, I mean, could I check the balance of it? It looks nice. I don't know. I want to see what this is about here.
Certainly, young lad. Simply give me a piece of collateral.
What do I have on here? I've got a few other daggers.
You have a great necklace.
I'm not going to show my necklace.
Dear me, boy, you're pawing over yourself like you don't have a coin in the world. I wonder if you're simply looking.
It takes a lot for me to buy one of these things. It looks nice. Like I said, a lot of things look nice, and then you pick them up and they're a piece of shit.
Perhaps some of these throwing spikes, or a cheaper dagger over here.
How'd you come about getting this dagger?
As I said, I love every dagger I sell, because they're mine.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about it. Where'd you get it?
Well, in Lotmoro, we're a trading town. People come through, and people come through some more. Great to be a merchant, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Now, look, boy. I have to close up my stall before night falls proper here. Once the gates close, lights go out, and I don't want to be around when that happens. Run along, boy. I don't have time to chat with penniless urchins anymore.
And he sort of, with that noise, drops down out of sight.
Hmm.
He's like a little jack-in-the-box.
Okay.
And just at that time, Steve, you see your three companions coming out of the temple, and you are now all back together at the base of the temple.
Sorry. Can I do a quick investigation check on the red that I have now?
Sure.
You have the red frog, one silver piece.
So that fellow handed you a small leather square, and as you inspect it, it has been folded origami style to make a little pouch. And as you turn it over in your hands and start to unfold it, you see small granules, small red granules, like sand, are inside this pouch.
So can I like roll investigation to know?
You can roll investigation, yep.
Robin, at the same time, I'm just going to feel around the collar. Is there a keyhole or anything resembling it on the collar?
I rolled an 8. I don't learn anything.
With an 8, the one thing you can tell is that these granules are very hard to the touch. They're kind of crystalline. You've never seen it before, though. You don't know what it is. And sorry, Kaitoa, did you say something there?
Yeah, I was wondering, these collars we have, they're like fully round. There's no like hinge or entry point, right? For like a key of any kind?
Correct. Yeah.
Can I remember? I guess I'm noticing that everybody's kind of in the marketplace is starting to close up shop pretty hastily now that the gates are closed and it's getting dark out. I've got a natural intuition, maybe something going on. So I want to roll an arcana here to see if I can find out some more history as to why people are hastily closing up shop and trying to kind of get out of what seems to be, a time where they don't want to be out in the open.
Okay, so Arcana. So you're trying to, I mean, I think it's more insight.
For me, like, Arcana is higher than my insight, right? My insight's a 0. So I always kind of err on more of the magical side of things. So that's kind of where, I guess, I'm going to look at that.
You're detecting, oh, there's a creepy magic vibe in the air.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's do a litmus test on the creepy magic feeling. Roll that
finger
arcana
in the bum, hold it up in the air.
Yep.
you fucker. I've gotten like 2 ones in a row. This is bullshit. So with my 1 and my arcana, I learned shit all because I'm a 4.
I mean, yeah, at the moment, that feeling that you had is sort of fleeting. But, and this is, I guess, the thing, you know, as a player, when you're suspicious, you don't need to roll. You're suspicious.
Yeah.
And so that remains. I mean, you clearly, Rook, are starting to add together things about who you're interacting with in the town. And you're thinking, what are the forces at work in this town is what you were trying to find out. But you didn't come up with something.
On this weapons table, is it just daggers and throwing knives?
Well, Kaitoa, no. So, the booth had several categories of weapons, as Steve might tell you. But as you look over, and as the four of you actually meet up on the stairs, you notice this gnome weapons vendor has popped back up and is looking in the party's general direction.
Okay, what do we do, guys? Blacksmith?
I guess I'm going to go back to the group and be like, hey, that card over there has got one of my daggers.
How much did he want for it?
I don't care how much he wants for it. That's my dagger.
Are you going to take it or are we going to buy it?
I don't know. I want to find out how he got it. He's not telling me much, but I haven't also pressed him yet either.
Has he said anything about the town or just about the daggers?
Lots of shit comes through. Lots of people come through. That's what he said.
Do we want to give Beleg all our money
And so he can just buy, if he can buy an axe or a sword, he's got all the weapons. So if shit goes down, he could just like hand us a sword and we're fighting. And we have,
well, I've got two swords.
I've got daggers. Oh,
okay. Already. So Beleg, can you buy an axe or like a sword, an extra one? Yeah. Cause if shit goes down, I have a stone dreidel.
That's what I probably, yeah, but the stone dreidel gives you 1d8. Doesn't it?
Yeah, but I, oh.
Yeah, this that's a great club.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty solid, man. Are we planning on shit going down right now?
Well, there seems to be an evil sense in the air, and our fucking blood hunter seems a little panicked, and when the blood hunter seems like there's something wrong, there's probably going to be something wrong.
The Dice Girls may not know what we're doing, but we're sure having a lot of fun doing it.
Do my bagpipes have, like, attack damage? If I take out my bow, could I miss and hit Trigus?
If you roll bad enough!
Have we been able to see the whole time?
You have dark vision! Surprise!
What ho, ugly creature.
Don't mind him. Everyone's dying around me, but I can't hit anything!
Are you guys gonna be okay?
Honestly, I think the answer to that is always no.
Who are you?
I'm just some riffraff.
Not anything particularly special. We are the Dice Girls.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
I rolled a 4, we're gonna die.
Oi! Prisoners! Calm the fuck down!
Okay. Well, yeah, let's just move on, or go investigate this dagger. It's up to Steve what we do, I guess.
Now, Beleg, sorry, do you have two alter egos now? You have Nimbur and Numbar?
Okay.
Well, it depends how much time's gone by, right?
Yeah, yeah, I've like, got the one alter ego.
Okay.
I clued into trying to the accents of the other guards at the gate.
But so you currently have the same guard disguise that you had on at the beginning. You're playing that same guard.
Yes.
We gotta find a blacksmith or at least find somewhere to like chill for the night. Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna forgo checking out the dagger. Steve, sorry, but we can investigate that further in the following day, but I think we should set up for...
Unless, Steve, you have a plan where you can, like, buy it, steal it, or, like, shake this guy down. But if we shake him down, we're bringing a lot of attention.
And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. I'd rather search out a craftsman or a place to... a better vantage point for the nightfall, you know?
How do you feel about it?
Well, Hey! Friends, it's Gurb, the gnome!
And sure enough, breaking the silence between you and the market, Gurm has pulled out a what looks like sort of a cone-shaped item with a hole on one end and a smaller hole on the other side. And on the bottom, there's sort of a handle. And he's yelling through this thing.
Young man, come on back over here.
Yeah, I'm gonna stealth to the
bring your friends. The craftsman section.
I'm getting out of there. I'm not getting into that action. I'm gonna stealth between the craftsman and the temple. So I'm heading towards that craftsman area behind the temple.
Okay. So the half orc is
I'm out.
Yeah. Self preservation kicking in. Beleg, your robot companion, and Steve, what are you doing?
I'm staying by Beleg because I'm obviously a giant robot with a collar on. Without this guard, I'm just a giant fugitive. So I need the guard.
Yeah, I'm still kind of looking at Steve.
What do we do, Steve? How bad do you want this knife?
Enough to kill the whole city? Because that's what is about to happen.
I can go over to the gnome and be like, "Oi, what the fuck are you yelling about?"
"Oh, a new guard on the block. Oh, I wonder what your name is. Come in close, guard. Let me introduce myself."
All right. How are you doing? My name's Numba.
I see. And your prisoner?
I don't fucking know his name.
Well, he's not your prisoner, is he at all?
Of course he's my fucking prisoner. Look at him.
Oh, no, he's not. No, he's not. And you're not a town's guard. And my name isn't Gurm at all.
Oh?
Now, come in real close there, love. My name is Mickey, and you would do very well to keep your voice down, Beleg, the half-elf.
Am I within earshot of this?
You are.
Rob?
Oh, yeah, you are.
I say, oi.
We all are, or what?
You all see Gurm's demeanor change completely. And he calls Beleg in. You didn't hear what he said, but all of a sudden, Beleg's boisterous guard act has stopped.
Yeah, I lean in and I say, all right.
Listen here, what does this mean to you? The man who would be king.
The man who would be king.
Oh dear, it looks like it has not worn off then yet completely then, has it?
Not entirely.
Oh, see. Well, look, bring your little friend over here. Where has that sly human boy got to?
I'm actually already there. In fact, the guard, so to speak, was going to act as a screen while I got closer and tried to pick the lock of that dagger.
So you can, if that's what you were doing, you can roll, what do you roll to pick a lock? This is not a master lock, but this is a moderate lock, like a DC of 10.
Yeah, so it would be dexterity check or perhaps sleight of hand.
Let's dex it.
Okay. That is a plus 23? No,
22. Oh, shit. Nice.
So, as Gurm looks over and asks for Beleg to summon his young friend, he's extremely surprised to see Steve right there holding the dagger. So the three of you are all standing there then close and under the slanting roof pieces of this mobile weapons cart.
Oh, I see you've helped yourself there, young master. Very well then. As well it should be so. He's yours then. Now,
wonderful.
Beleg, listen here. There isn't much time, you see. You have to get to the Firbolg.
The Firbolg.
The smithy. Ask for the Firbolg.
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 That's a big man.
The Firbolg.
Well, thanks, customers.
Ask for the Firbolg.
And in that moment, the weapons cart shutters up and snaps down the three individual roof pieces. And in fact, everybody, can you make a dexterity saving throw?
Fox.
19.
5.
16.
So the robot, you 11. Hit your head, the, as the cart kind of wraps itself up, it hits you in the head for 1 damage.
And so I've got this dagger now? Is that...
You have recovered one of your prized daggers, which I think you described at some length.
It's really nice.
Oh, man, it's good to see you, buddy.
And he has indicated... Reunited. He's indicated essentially the side of the temple where Brandon fled to.
That's where we're going to ask for Firbolg?
Yep.
How long have we been in the market for here now?
Your temple visit was about 10 minutes. This little interaction was only 2 or 3 minutes. So the party has just left the market. And actually, it's seemingly as if Gurm closing up his shop was sort of the beginning. Everybody starts to go through the motions of closing up the market. And the half-orc has run behind the temple to the nearest alleyway, sensing that, you know, maybe exposure wasn't the right time with this extremely loud gnome calling out to them.
So how far away are we from complete kind of nightfall?
You still have 25 minutes or so.
And they're heading back towards where I took off, right?
Yep. The area that you guys remember when you first scoped out Lot Murrow that, you know, seemed to have all the smithies was indeed the one directly behind the temple. And this is what you see, Brandon. You're now sort of at a vantage point. You're at the edge of this smithy district of craftsmen.
Okay. And can I see that that the three are coming back towards me?
What are you three doing?
Yeah, I think that, well, I lead the construct, and then Steve can follow if he wants. But yeah, towards Brandon.
I'm kind of in my own little kind of world, flipping my dagger around my back. I'm pretty happy that I have it back, just like testing the balance out of it again, twirling it on my finger kind of thing, but I'm following.
All of you come around the edge of the temple, and you see sort of one gray-skinned hand sort of sticking out on that side of the temple. Clearly, Rook has he's trying to kind of stay on the boundary between hoping you guys come around that corner and peering into the next clearing of smithies.
What did you guys find out?
We got to ask for the firbolg.
Ask for the firbolg? What's the firbolg?
It's a big, big, big guy.
that is correct. Steve would probably know from his time in the wilderness quite a bit about firbolgs.
Steve, tell us about it.
So they're giant kin. They're not as large as giants, but they are certainly a lot bigger than any of us. This guy, if he's here, we're going to find him pretty easily, I think.
Okay. So why do we got to look for him?
Sounds like someone this big could break off our collar, maybe?
Apparently he's a smithy. Or at least this, we're looking for a smithy or looking for a furball.
Well, as I've been kind of hiding out here waiting for you guys, I've noticed that this is the kind of the smithy section of the craftsman area of town.
Yeah.
Did he tell you anywhere where we could find this guy?
I assume it's going to be somewhere around in this part of town. I mean, like I said, we have to find if we find a smithy with a gigantic dude, it's most likely
giant smith.
So who should we send? Steve, or do we want to send the guard?
I'm thinking about switching up my look right now.
All right, well,
blondes have more fun.
What are you thinking?
Oh, of like doing like looking more like an adventurer.
Okay, that does. Sorry, what? Adventurer?
Like an adventurer from far away looking.
Okay, well,
I think it makes. I think I could get more info if I. I disguise myself as just an adventurer.
I'll try and lay low. Let's go with it.
Okay, so you're changing your appearance, Beleg, and you guys are essentially you take one step out of the alleyway you are in, and you're into the smithy district where, you know, you can already see every shop has a very open front with no formal doors or windows. It's not clear that any of them specialize in anything at the moment. For now, you just see a ton of crucibles and heavy-looking metalworking equipment.
May I use my perception to find the smithy with the largest door?
There is one smithy with a higher roof than all the others. In fact, as I mentioned, Lot Murrow, a lot of these buildings are rather low-ceilinged. One of them does stand out above the rest.
I think that's... let's go that way.
Yeah.
How far is it away?
You guys are now in the sort of the clearing that is bordered by an L-shaped building. Yep. The large roofed smithy is the rectangular building that...
Yeah.
Sweet. No doorway and no formal sign or anything. But sure enough, as you approach this, you see bright sparks in the back. And then you get the smell of sulfur and hot metal.
Walk in. Yeah.
Okay, and then Beleg, Rook, and Kaitoa. What are you doing as Steve approaches?
I want to walk in with him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be following behind.
I'm following, but I'm like, I feel safe because it's the smell of hot metal. So I definitely feel like a little more like, maybe. Yeah, like just be here, or this makes me either happy or familiar. So I'm walking in very like non-defensive, but still a little slow because we don't know who's in there and if they can see a giant robot poke through their window.
Beleg and Steve are kind of leading. They seem to be entering the exact same time. Rook, you're just a step behind, and the robot's just a step behind. Yeah. As you enter the shop, you notice a couple of interesting machines. One of them looks like a huge beam attached to a wheel, like a sort of weight attached to an even larger weight suspended above it. And you can't quite tell what these things are for. In fact, they don't really seem like things that a smith who makes weapons would use. So far, you still can't see who's in this shop, but there's a lot of sparks and noise coming from the back.
Is there like a front desk or a bell or anything, or just...
You look around, and there is a small bell in the shape of a bull.
Sweet.
Of a bull or a bowl?
A bull.
Okay.
Bull head.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I'm going to go up and ring it, and then I'm going to see how it works. I'm pretty interested in this little bell.
So go up, and are you jingling the bell?
Yeah, I'm jingling it, kind of like turning it over, maybe picking a little bit at it. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Okay, so far it hasn't made a noise. It's a small, it looks like a small cast brass bell.
But like, does an investigation.
On the bell or on the shop?
On the bell.
Roll a d20 plus your investigation.
So that is a... It's a 12.
This appears to be a benign bell, and you notice hanging behind it, that was out of view, but now you can see it, is a small striking wand to ostensibly strike the bell.
Ah. Well, grab the fucking wand, Steve.
Ring the bell.
All right. I thought it'd be more mechanical than that. Okay, cool. I'll ring it. Bing.
A very light ding echoes through the shop, and immediately the sounds from the back stop. And you hear from the back the sound of a large metal something hit the ground with an enormous clang. Then you hear another enormous clang. And
I'm gonna ring the bell again.
Very large shadow stoops under the almost 8-foot tall beam into the room. And it is a firbolg. A giant kin, as Steve warned you.
Oh man, I never get used to seeing how big these guys are. Hey, man! Hey!
What was the name of the gnome again? Murray? Mickey. Drop that shit. Hey, Mickey sent us.
Mickey.
Yeah, Mickey.
You'll know Mickey.
Well, he sent us. I do want this collar off though. That'd be awesome. Mickey, you'd be able to help us out.
I break collar for you, but you don't move or I break you.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
Can you do all of our collars?
I make collar, I break collar.
You
made the collars.
I make, I break.
Can you tell us more about them?
Well, you say friend of Mickey?
Yes.
I come from destroyed city, cheated many times. I don't talk no more.
Yeah, I don't want to intimidate him, so I'm not going to look further.
No. I like where this is going so far, so I don't want to piss him off.
Just be like, please
take
it off.
Yeah. Okay, well, could you please remove collar?
Vitaly, remove collar. A little boy, a careful, don't break little boy neck.
Yeah, again, that'd be super cool. Break my neck.
So the furball holds out his hand towards Steve, the human. He looks like he's sort of indicating to Steve to put something in his hand.
Like I'll give him a high five?
Okay. you put your hand into his, and I mean, it is just dwarfed. Your hand looks like a baby hand. Yeah. And he's got this sort of leathery, hairy palm, and he looks down at you immediately and says, "No, round, shiny."
He wants money.
Round,
he doesn't want
shiny.
Your hand.
How many round, shiny things do you need?
For Vitaly, make sure more I pay, less I break your neck.
Sweet, yeah. I only have one shiny thing on me right now. I do have a couple awesome daggers, though.
As you show him your one shiny coin that you're constantly flipping in your hand, Steve, he's surprisingly dexterous. And sure enough, he grabs it right out of your hand.
I take it. Sit down.
Sweet. Yeah.
He indicates to you to sit down beside the huge beam that you saw before. Do any of you guys know what a trip hammer is?
No.
Okay, well, you're going to Google it after this. This verbal
Google it right now.
Has come up to you, Steve, and indicated an area where clearly very large pieces of metal are either stressed or strained or hit.
Yeah,
and he's indicating to you to put your collar where this anvil size.
Jesus.
Yep. This anvil-sized hammer is going to strike. And to get these collars off, guys, we're going to... You guys are going to need to make a dexterity.
Oh, someone's getting their head chopped off.
If not, you'll definitely take some damage. Steve, you're up.
Boy, collar, I calibrate pressure. Make sure, small boy, break, no problem, more boys.
Yeah, but I like this one. All right, guys.
Yeah, see you later.
Smell you later. You ready to go?
So, Steve, you are agreeing to what this furball has suggested.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you roll a dex.
I got a 13.
As the very nervous-looking Steve holds super still, The firbolg moves back to the lever near the back of this beam and pulls it down. The counterweights that you saw in the shop start swinging back and forth, and it comes down with just shattering force. Steve is blown across the room and hits the wall. Steve, you take 4 damage.
Ow!
The good news is your collar is shattered.
Someone's getting wiped out.
It's sort of broken into 5 or 6 chunks right where the trip hammer hit it, and you can easily slip out of this burden.
Nice. Nice. All right, big guy. Big guy. Give it up. High five. Let's do this.
A problem with boy hand no hit me. No.
Oh,
and
come on,
he
man. It's like
does not complete your high five.
Tree trunk. Oh man, no one gives
who's
high
next?
Five.
I'll go.
I say we start light and work our way to heavy, because if we go heavy, he's more likely to crush your head.
Hey, I have good feeling about this one. Roll him up.
It's a dex roll, right?
That's right.
19.
Okay, this time Batali goes back to the lever. He sets his counterweights up again. And you're impressed with how the firbolg actually resets the counterweights. He seems to be lifting a tremendous amount. So he sets it back up again and pulls the lever. It's a perfect cut. What happens this time is cracks in half, like you're sharing a donut with your friend. And
beautiful.
One side falls off your left shoulder. One side falls off your right shoulder onto the ground with a massive clang, and you take no damage.
I look at Steve and I say, that wasn't so bad.
Fuck you, man.
Steve is bleeding fairly profusely from around his neck.
Does this look fun? Does this look good or bad to you? Man. I mean, I'm happy to be out of it, but...
Who's next? The closing time for Vitali. Time for me to go to get a drink at the Bronze Mask.
I jump up and say, I'm next.
Strange orc man, you put your neck here. Yes, exactly.
He's put the counterweight back on, and he's ready to go.
Did he charge Bellic?
No, he did not.
Okay.
No, Steve, like a great wingman, has paid cover for you.
Oh, okay. It covers it all. Okay.
So, with my role.
I know I'm going to be charged because it's a.
Bellic has taken note of the name of the bar mask.
Bronze Mask.
Yeah.
What'd you get, Brando?
Rolled a 15 and my dexterity is 2, so 17.
Oh, nice. Okay. The trip hammer gets released, and momentum, you guys are now used to, destroys your collar. In this case, though, you have to kind of wiggle it out a bit. You are free, though, and your collar drops to the ground. You take no damage.
Free at last! Free at last!
Your golem or your suit of powered armor, why does he have a collar? Why not just throw him away?
because we love him.
I bite my tongue right there.
He's a pretty sweet robot.
You want to take collar off a trash can?
Yes.
Better saw it off. I get hacksaw. You wait.
And he goes to get a hacksaw and goes up to Kaitoa's neck and starts trying to saw the head off.
I, grab his arm or his forearm right away as soon as he comes up to my neck with it.
Hey, take your golem order. You want a neck, head come off or collar come off?
I say collar.
Oh, step right up.
And he starts setting up the counterweights again.
Big, big pressure here. Very careful now. You put your collar so I don't take your face off.
Your difficulty check's a little higher, Kaitoa. I want you to roll that 20.
What am I checking against?
Just You're so checking against the strength of the collar and the danger of the trip hammer as it explodes.
Yeah, but what's his check, though? It's still dexterity.
You guys were trying to beat 15.
Yeah.
Which is but why it's a Steve dexterity, got though, right? A bloody neck, and you guys just squeezed by. I have
Kaitoa
at a 16 because his collar is bigger.
Oh, okay. What is it? Danger sense. Yep. I have advantage on dexterity saving throws against effects that you can see, such as traps and spells.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know it's there. So I have advantage.
Roll
so
with advantage.
For dex, yeah. I get to roll twice, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
17.
What was the 16? First one?
12 plus okay. 1 or 16
so
plus 1.
The trip hammer comes down. It cracks this solid collar right off of you, Kaitoa.
Yeah.
You don't take any damage, and the collar falls to the floor with a huge clang.
Yeah, what did I need to beat?
You needed to beat a 16.
Oh,
hey, guys.
God.
Hey, guys, leeches, hold on. Wait, I'm the only one here? What's up with that?
Sorry, Steve, what did you say?
It's just I recall that scene in Steve Zissou where they go to the water's like, wait, hold on, guys, leeches.
Hold on.
No one else has it on.
Yeah. You guys all have your collars off. And just as Steve is recovering,
Gio.
And Kaitoa's collar clangs to the floor, in this same moment, you four hear another sound reverberating from outside in the town.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of this, guys.
And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards. This is DM Robulon. You know my voice. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We're now on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever else you slay your podcasts.